Cortez did what he could with these troublemakers, bribing some, keeping a close eye on others. Meanwhile, he worked to build a strong enough rapport with the rest of his men that the grumblers could do no harm. All seemed well until the night of July 30th, when Cortez was awoken by a Spanish sailor who, begging for mercy, confessed that he had joined in a plot to steal a ship and return that very evening to Cuba, where the conspirators would tell Velazquez about Cortez's goal of conquering Mexico on his own. Cortez sensed that this was the decisive moment of the expedition. He could easily squash the conspiracy, but there would be others. His men were a rough lot, and their minds were on gold, Cuba, their families, anything but fighting the Aztecs. He could not conquer an empire with men so divided and untrustworthy, but how to fill them with the energy and focus for the immense task he faced? Thinking this through, he decided to take swift action. He seized the conspirators and had the two ringleaders hanged. Next, he bribed his pilots to bore holes in all of the ships and then announced that worms had eaten through the boards of the vessels, making them unseaworthy. Pretending to be upset at the news, Cortez ordered what was salvageable from the ships to be taken ashore and then the holes to be sunk. The pilots complied, but not enough holes had been bored, and only five of the ships went down. The story of the worms was plausible enough, and the soldiers accepted the news of the five ships with equanimity. But when a few days later, more ships were run aground and only one was left afloat, it was clear to them that Cortez had arranged the whole thing. When he called a meeting, their mood was mutinous and murderous. This was no time for subtlety. Cortez addressed his men. He was responsible for the disaster, he admitted. He had ordered it done, but now there was no turning back. They could hang him, but they were surrounded by hostile Indians and had no ships. Divided and leaderless, they would perish. The only alternative was to follow him to Tenochtitlan. Only by conquering the Aztecs, by becoming lords of Mexico, could they get back to Cuba alive. To reach Tenochtitlan, they would have to fight with utter intensity. They would have to be unified. Any dissension would lead to defeat and a terrible death. The situation was desperate, but if the men fought desperately in turn, Cortez guaranteed that he would lead them to victory. Since the army was so small in number, the glory and riches would be all the greater. Any cowards not up to the challenge could sail the one remaining ship home. No one accepted the offer, and the last ship was run aground. Over the next months, Cortez kept his army away from Veracruz and the coast. Their attention was focused on Tenochtitlan, the heart of the Aztec Empire. The grumbling, the self-interest, and the greed all disappeared. Understanding the danger of their situation, the conquistadors fought ruthlessly. Some 2 years after the destruction of the Spanish ships, and with the help of their Indian allies, Cortez's army laid siege to Tenochtitlan and conquered the Aztec Empire.